1 John chapter 5. We're going to look at the first five verses, but I'm going to have more of a topical message this evening. Because there's some things here I think it'll do us some good and do everyone some good if we had a better understanding of. 1 John 5 verse 1 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous." Why are they not grievous? Why are they so easy? Verse 4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, our faith." What's our faith? Christ is our faith. "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, twice there in our text, in verse 1 and verse 4, it speaks to those that are born of God. Born of God. That's unfortunately confused and misused few words throughout our nation, throughout this world. So my title tonight is Physical Birth versus Spiritual Birth. We're going to look at, hopefully, several things those things have in common. And then at the end, we'll look at a couple ways that they contrast one another. But to overcome the world, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to love him, to love our brethren, is all the result of being born of God. Being born again in the heart. I want us to look at this difference between the physical and the spiritual birth. But so many times our old flesh and old nature in us, it confuses the two. We're just convinced that because we breathe air, because I'm alive physically, that I'm alive spiritually. Many people confuse those two things. But this is a wonderful picture of how Christ saves his people. Every illustration and these scriptures is wonderful. It's glorious. How seed must go in the ground and die before it brings forth much fruit. Now the branch can't survive apart from the vine. Things you and I can understand. We can look at these things. We can touch these things. And the Lord uses that to show us how simple that is, isn't it? He uses these wonderful things. That's precious. But he uses physical birth as an example, to show us our spiritual birth. We have physical eyes. We see this world around us. And as we mature, we have a better understanding of the stuff around us. Things of this world. What it means in creation. Things we see in people's body language. And we know what to eat and what not to eat by using our senses the Lord gave us. To smell it, to see it. But when a child of God is given a new heart and new eyes to see Christ and his infinite grace and mercy to his people and his love, we see our sin for the first time with spiritual eyes. We see our need for a redeemer for the first time. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ as that kinsman redeemer for the first time. Throughout all the Old Testament, these new eyes that were given and our new birth, we begin to see things we've never saw before. The pictures and types in the Old Testament no longer just a good moral lesson. It's no longer a good bedtime story for small children, something to entertain us. Now we begin to see the Messiah is to come. He's coming. That lamb slain to cover Adam is a picture of Christ dying for his people, robing us in his righteousness. Abel's offering wasn't the works of his hands. It was a blood sacrifice that the Lord provided for himself. He's just and the justifier through his Son. We understand, given in the new birth, we no longer see Noah's Ark as something we make up for nurseries, not some kind of wallpaper. We see sinners being shown mercy, drawn into Christ the Ark, and then the Lord using his hand to seal us in him forever. And that all that wrath and punishment and judgment falls on that ark, falls on Christ, and we're spared. We're preserved forever in him. We begin to see that. All through the scriptures, Jonah and the whale and all through Ruth and all these books, we see that one that is coming, the promised Savior of God, Christ the God-man is coming. And then in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He's here. We see Him walk this earth as He is, as the God-man. In human flesh, He came. We see the power of His words, power of His action, and His person. What He accomplished here, why He came to this earth. And then with these new eyes and this new heart we're given and this new birth, now we read the epistles of the apostles, letters from the apostles. And that one promised to come. We see that He came, and now we see He's going to return. He's coming again. Christ is coming again. Now this new birth that we have, this new Spirit to put in us, that's precious. Christ revealed in a man or woman is the greatest blessing they could ever receive. Nothing is greater. That's why physical life to us is so precious. Earthly life is so precious. If there's breath in the lungs of someone, the Lord may do a work in them. There's still hope they could hear of our Savior. As long as a person is alive, the Lord may call them, may draw them to Christ. He may know them. So now from this physical birth and this spiritual birth, let's look at a few ways that they're both alike. The first is, it's miraculous and it's mysterious. That's amazing, a physical birth, isn't it? David told us there in Psalm 139, "For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." We look at our physical bodies, how it all works together. From a cellular level up to organs and arms and legs, and this hand feeds this mouth, and it's amazing. Physically, it's miraculous. But Christ said there in John 3:7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Now, I looked at this verse last Saturday and was only going to make a spiritual reference from it, but as this week's went on, physically I can see the Lord control the wind. That wind was coming over the hill, the fire was coming right towards our home. And right about a half a mile from it, a spot fire about 500 meters from it, the Lord turned the wind and moved it away from us. Now we know that. We know that He did that. And many people would say, "Oh, the Lord moved the wind for you." But spiritually, He moves His Word. It goes where He wants it. We don't see it coming. We don't know it's going to happen. And there's times He takes His Word from a place or from a person. He only touches them briefly. But that's His work. He does it. But we were estranged from God, and now we're called friends. We were children of wrath, and now we're called heirs of promise. We become the opposite of what we were in that spiritual birth. The things we once hated, used to, we couldn't stand to hear the gospel. We couldn't stand to see Christ get all the glory. Now that's what we love. I want to hear that. I want Him to get all the glory. And the things we once loved, my own glory, my own righteousness, my own will and way, now we hate that. With Paul, we agree with him. "I don't want nothing to do with that old man. The Lord showed me different." There's been a birth. Second, it's marvelous and mysterious. Second, it's life is created. That's how the physical and spiritual birth are the same. Physically, life's created where it never existed before. A new life begins, and there's a new citizen in our nation. And we rejoice. Somebody has a baby. "Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, I'm so happy for you. Mike's going to have a grandbaby. You, Karen, oh, we're so happy for you. Can't wait for that thing to get here." This country has a new citizen in it, don't it? Spiritually, life's created where there was no life before. We were dead in sin. And though we were physically alive, a believer's true life begins when that work's done in them, when Christ is revealed in them. And then there's a new citizen. But this time it's the kingdom of God and in His kingdom. And the heavens rejoice whenever a man or woman's soul's been turned to Him. And Christ has been revealed in them. It says the heavens sing. We rejoice too. Both are miraculous, and in both cases, a new life's created. But thirdly, there's a likeness in form, in likeness, in build. Physically, you young people know why you plant a bean seed, and when that grows up, beans come out of it. Because you put a bean seed in the ground, right? Same form. The reason that is because God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the field after his kind, and so it was. The Lord said, that's the pattern that's going to happen. That's why we don't plant a corn seed and beans come out. The Lord said so. But vegetables, animals, trees, people, everything. Everything that has an offspring, it's the same form as what it came from. After its same kind, it's like that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Spiritually, a father's seed lives in its child. It's made like them in the appearance of it. In Adam's seed, we died. We were all born spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. Sin was counted to us in Adam's fall. It was imputed to us. We were physically born looking like Adam, after him, and in that physical nature, it was imparted to us. It's our traits that we have. And then we acted on that nature. We committed that sin too. But Christ, the seed, singular, we are made in his likeness spiritually. In Adam we die, but in Christ we live. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You think, if you think a church denomination is what gave you life, then all you have is its religion. If you think a physical work or ceremony is what gave you life, then all you have is that work of religion. But if you're born again in that heart work of Christ that he performs, then you have eternal life. You don't have a religion, you have a Savior. That's the difference in it. That dead father brings forth spiritually dead children, but Christ, the living God, brings forth living souls. Children that have eternal life. God's a spirit, and those that are born of Christ, anew in the heart, are spirit like he is. We're in the same form. Physically and spiritually, that's both marvelous. A new life's made after its own kind. And fourthly, we see its likeness in character. Character is the same. Physically, we come forth speaking lies. We inherited that pride in ourselves, our working, our birth, what we think is a birthright, our entitlement. And all of our thoughts are only evil continually. So David said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. That's the character we had physically. And in our garden this year, we grew some cucumbers. And they were beautiful. Oh, it was the biggest cucumber plants I ever grew. And we got that first one, that first fruit, and we cut it open, and it was so bitter, you couldn't even stand to eat it. Do you think I saved those seeds? No. Because if I took those seeds, kept them, and planted them, they're probably going to be just as bad as those first ones, wouldn't I? Don't want nothing to do with it. Cast it away, burn it. By the character of our nature, we are the corruptible seed. That's what we were born with. Spiritually, those born of God are from Christ, the incorruptible seed. In our spiritual nature, our new man, we have the character of Christ. Now, we don't think so. I don't feel so. I'm sure most of you don't. But a holy nature, that's what our new man is, just like his. Just like Christ, the seed. And in that new man, we believe Christ. We love him for who he is and what he accomplished on Calvary. We trust his word in our resurrection in all things. And in that believing, in that hoping, loving, trusting, in that new heart, all these things it does, there is no sin in that. Just like our master, there is no guile. Our new hearts have overcome the world. We love those that are begotten of the Father, and we love the one that begat us. Our new man looks to him. And fifthly, life is complete with everything it needs and everything it'll ever have when we're born. Physically, we're born with all the organs we're ever going to have. We got all the limbs, eyes, ears. We ain't never going to grow an extra arm. If we lose an appendix, it don't grow back. Whatever we have when we're born, that's what we have. Now, it's in its infant stage. It's all little. So small, I'm surprised they work. Always amazed me looking at a baby. Their hands are so, how does blood go through there? Fingers are so tiny. But everything they have is what they have. They're complete. Now, they'll grow. They'll become an adult physically. Spiritually, when a sinner is born of God, at that moment, when he's revealed in us, everything you need is there. You're complete in him. All things required are present. We have joy, hope, kindness, meekness, tenderness. We have life, the fruits of the Spirit. And you have perfection in that new heart, in that new birth in him. Now, it's miraculous. It is the same form as our Father. It's a spirit. And it's the same character as the Father. It's holy. And it's totally complete in Christ, the one who bought it, the one who purchased it. But though it's complete, it grows. It matures. It strengthens. That's why when you see there in the Scripture, it says babes in Christ, young men in Christ, and elders in Christ. When Christ is revealed in us at that new birth, we are meet. We are sufficient to enter into his kingdom, enter into his presence. And those fruits, they'll increase. But the only thing that won't change, those others will get stronger and our love will get stronger. But the love's the same. Love hasn't changed from the beginning. It'll be because of it's of the same kind and of the same form. And it does not change because he doesn't change. His love for us doesn't change. So many things are similar in that physical birth and spiritual birth. And it's a magnificent picture of Christ giving one of his sheep life. But we wouldn't be here today if we weren't physically born. That's a silly statement to most people, but we have to be alive to come here, don't we? You will not be in the kingdom of heaven in the presence of Christ forever if you're not spiritually born. It said in John 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." You couldn't see, hear, or think on these things if you weren't given physical birth. And you could not see the need of Christ's blood on the cross for our souls if you weren't given spiritual eyes to see it. You cannot hear his voice speak to your new heart in power saying, "Fear not." You cannot consider his person and his work or think on his glory if you are not spiritually born. You cannot enjoy the things of this world physically if we weren't physically born. There's a lot of nice things, the Grand Canyon and beaches and sunsets and a lot of beautiful things to see and enjoy. But you can't enjoy the things of God's kingdom if you're not born again of the Spirit. And sixth, spiritual life and physical life are alike because we have nothing to do with either one of them. We didn't initiate it. Physically, I didn't decide that my parents could give me life. I know there's some children nowadays that are suing their parents because they did have them, and that's a judge ought to laugh at it. But simply put, they made us. We didn't have a hand in it. And one day I became aware I was alive. I was alive for a long time, didn't know it. And then I started kind of remembering some stuff, you know. Started becoming aware. Spiritually, I did not decide to let Christ give me life. I was made and then simply made aware that he dwelt in me one day. Come to know him. Started being aware of him. That's why these things are a picture. We can understand something physical. We understand physical birth. It's plain, simple. We're all here because it happened. And the Lord uses that to show us our spiritual birth. But there's a few ways that these two things are opposite. I'll try to go over them quickly for you. The seed we receive from our earthly father is not like that seed we receive from our heavenly father. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. there in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as of grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The seed we were born of from Adam was corrupted. It was no good. That holy seed from the Lord is incorruptible. It's perfection. Physically, we were born through a woman by the works of man. But spiritually, we're born through that bride of Christ, through His church, through the preaching of the gospel. Not by our work, but by His word, by His command, we're born of the Spirit. Let's look over in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 26. This is a picture of or the story of Mary when the angel came and spoke to her. And this is a beautiful picture of how you and I are born of the Spirit. Luke 1, 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this could be. She was shocked, took aback by it. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary is a picture of how every believer is born of God, how we're saved. That word comes to us, and it shakes us up. We don't know what kind of salutation that is. We're surprised by it or taken aback, sometimes offended. Our pride gets hurt. And He speaks to us in power. Fear not. Fear not. And it said, it won't be a work of your hand. The Holy Spirit's coming into you. And there's going to be a work done that Holy Spirit performs. That seed of the Word of God, as James told us, he said, of God, of His own will begat He us. Because of His work in us, He performs. And then we're called the sons of God. There in Romans 10, Paul told us, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon Him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on Him of whom they have not heard? He must speak through His Word to them. The Word of God reveals our sin. His Word reveals our Savior. His blood make an atonement for our souls. His Word reveals His promise of eternal life is provided for and kept only in Christ. And we're born of the Spirit and the Word. That's a double work they do in us. How He performs it. Life in the image of Christ is put in a believer by the Spirit through the Word of God, through His command. Then our new heart believes Christ, loves Him, loves our brethren, and it condemns our old fleshly nature. Once this happens, all of a sudden we've turned away from everything we once were. That's why Job said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man-child conceived. Outside of Christ, there'll be a day when men and women will curse that physical birth that they've had. They'll cry for the mountains to fall on them when that judgment comes. But there will never be a time believers regret, or that we curse the day that we were spiritually born. Physically, we may go enough, through enough trials, we hurt enough, so Lord, just take me home in this. But that spiritual man rejoices forever. Some parents have regretted the day that their children were born. We see that in our society just clearly through murder that's illegal and murder that's legal throughout our culture. But our Heavenly Father has never regretted making a nation just like His Son. We will be a trophy of His grace forever. But someday we'll leave. Someday this physical life will be over. So the Hebrew writer told us, and is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Physically, we will die no matter what. It's coming to everybody. We know that. We can subdue it, push it away, try to ignore it. Everyone knows we don't live forever in this earth. And then the judgment. And then spiritually, though, those born of God, we will never die. Said for me, Christ, or Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but for me to die is gain. We look forward to that. Kirma told me today, said she wants to go home. We miss our house. But she also said, that's how we ought to be for glory. Every day, we all say, well, I just want to go home. I'm homesick. And the closer, that's what I said too, we drive out that road to get to go home someday soon. The closer we get to the house, the more homesick you get in this life spiritually. The closer we get to our home in glory, the more homesick we get. Oh, I want to be there. But someday, every believer will leave this land of death and enter into the land of the living. Our flesh is continually dying. It's decaying every day. The new man is only growing. And eventually, when we finally meet our Master, we'll be exactly like our Savior and we'll never perish. We'll be in His image forever. Spiritually, we can never die because we are one with Christ. As He lives, we live. And He can never die. We're made one with Him. Christ said, and they shall never perish. And He cannot lie. He's God. Finally, physical and spiritual birth are opposite in what they glory in. The glory of the physical birth is proud in its beauty. It's proud in its wealth. It glories in its intelligence and its strength and its wisdom. But the glory in the flesh is only in the flesh. These things die with the body. They die with the using. The grass of the field fades and it withers. The glory in those born of the Spirit that's in Christ, we glory in His beauty. His beauty before the Father. We glory in His wealth of mercy and grace to His people. We glory in His infinite knowledge. We glory in His almighty power. And we glory in His wisdom in all things. And that will never fade. That will never wither. It'll only grow greater and greater. Wax greater and greater. With all that said, to those of you that hear Him, those of you that know Him, those of you that's been born again of the Spirit, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 21. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. If you've heard Him, if He's given you ears to hear Him, if you've been given a mind that's been put in you that He's taught, verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to its deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Those of you that heard this word Christ has spoken to, come to Him, confessing, lean on Him, believing, and you will not be ashamed. You'll be given life. He's done a work in you. If you come to Him, He's already grown you. Rejoice in Him. Glory in Him alone. You'll be happy right then, complete right then. And then someday you'll be homesick and you'll want to go home and be with them. Amen. I hope that's a blessing to you.